American Airlines investigates a death on one of its flights. The Air Force calls a temporary pause in B-2 operations. And is Detroit Metropolitan Airport asking too much of the citizens of Romulus? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 26, 2008. An American Airlines passenger died on a flight from Haiti to New York Friday. A medical examiner says Karine Desir died of natural causes, and media reports say she had a history of heart disease. But relatives want to know if a delay by flight attendants in providing her oxygen and malfunctioning equipment after they agreed made a difference. The Associated Press reports Desir started to experience trouble breathing after she ate a meal on the flight. Her cousin, Antonio Oliver, says Desir asked a flight attendant for oxygen twice, but was denied the request. He recalls her complaining, quote, "Don't let me die," unquote. Oliver says when cabin personnel finally tried to administer oxygen, two tanks were empty. He added that a box used in the resuscitation attempt, likely a defibrillator, seemed to malfunction. The pilot agreed to divert to Miami, 45 minutes away, and a nurse on board the flight administered CPR, but Desir passed away before the plane landed. A spokeswoman for American said the matter was under investigation, but would not comment Sunday on Oliver's claims of faulty medical equipment on the plane. It's not a grounding per se, but for the next day or so, the U.S. Air Force would prefer not to fly its remaining fleet of B-2 Spirit bombers following the weekend crash of a B-2 in Guam. The Air Force describes the move as a temporary pause to review safety procedures. The Air Force says that standing operating procedure when a military aircraft crashes for unexplained reasons and gives pilots time to review safety procedures. Officials told CNN the fleet remains available for immediate deployment if needed. Want to start the mother of all NIMBY battles? Tell a small suburb you want to displace 15% of the town's residents to expand the metro area's major airport. That's the proposal in Romulus, Michigan, where USA Today reports Detroit Metropolitan Airport officials want to build a new 10,000-foot runway and want 3,500 people to give up their homes to do it. The board says its 20-year growth plan projects this year's 36 million passengers through the airport will grow to 60 million by 2027, and the runway is needed. Romulus Economic Development Director Tim Keyes told the Detroit News, quote, "We don't have a choice. We have to get vocal," unquote. The Detroit area currently has an oversupply of unsold homes, suppressing real estate prices, but it's probably about to experience a sudden shortage of poster board. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration, already hampered at times by the analysis paralysis that faces any agency relying on a political funding mechanism, finally looks to be on track with a vision to return to the moon and then Mars. But some fear the changing of the guard in the White House will plunge NASA back into the bog of indecision. The Bush administration articulated the current game plan after critics said NASA had spent 30 years without a vision, but recently revealed vibration problems with the Ares 1 rocket, and politicians' concerns over losing the pork involved in the shuttle program are threatening to derail the plan. Last month, a group of scientists met behind closed doors at Stanford University to consider whether the inauguration of a new U.S. president might be the time to revisit the plan. They emerged with a resolution backing the current NASA vision and a recommendation to commit another $3 billion per year to making it reality. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin may or may not be retained by the next administration, but he hopes the current plan will stay on the rails, noting Congress debated for 2 years before approving it. Quote, "Everybody needed to have their say. They did. We can't change our minds every 3 years and get anything done," unquote. Up next on ANN, two sleepy pilots at Go Airlines are getting no help from the NTSB. Virgin flies a 747 on plant oils mixed with kerosene. And NATCA pounces on a statement by an FAA spokesman. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 26th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Barring a surprise revelation, it appears two GO Airlines pilots have some explaining to do. This weekend, the National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary report into a February 13th incident in which a CRJ-200 flying from Honolulu to Hilo overshot the destination airport and flew 15 miles out to sea at flight level 210, out of contact with puzzled controllers. The aircraft eventually turned back to Hilo and landed uneventfully. Early indications suggested the two-person flight crew fell asleep or became otherwise indisposed. A wide range of issues remained under consideration, including the possibility of a pressurization problem or miscommunication. However, the NTSB has ruled out any mechanical issues, including carbon monoxide poisoning. The NTSB also notes controllers were able to reestablish radio contact with the flight crew, so the radios obviously were fine. As ANN reported, GO parent company Mesa Air Group suspended both pilots last week, pending the findings of the investigation. On Sunday, Boeing, Virgin Atlantic, and GE Aviation conducted what those companies call the first commercial aviation flight using a sustainable fuel from biomass mixed with traditional kerosene-based jet fuel. The Virgin Atlantic 747-400 flew on a blend of babassu oil and coconut oil provided by Seattle-based Imperium Renewables. Both oils are called economically and socially sustainable and are found in cosmetic products, including lip balm and shaving cream. In addition, the babassu nuts and coconuts were harvested from existing mature plantations. No modifications were made to either the aircraft or its engines to enable the flight to take place. This test differs from earlier alternative fuel flights made by the U.S. Air Force, because the fuel used by the Air Force was derived from other fossil sources, using Fischer-Tropsch conversion. Virgin Atlantic President Sir Richard Branson calls his airline's flight a breakthrough. Quote, "This pioneering flight will enable those of us who are serious about reducing our carbon emissions to go on developing the fuels of the future, fuels which will power our aircraft in the years ahead," unquote. Data from the instrumented biofuel flight will be analyzed and used for research and development of next-generation biofuels that can help to further reduce carbon emissions. Boeing will use this flight as a baseline for conducting another biofuel flight later this year with Air New Zealand. The latest PR salvo fired at the FAA by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association deals with new fan-out departure routes from Philadelphia International Airport. Responding to NATCA complaints that controllers' concerns over safety of the new procedures were not considered, FAA spokesman Jim Peters is quoted by the Delaware County Daily Times as responding, quote, "If any controller at the Philadelphia airport believes that these procedures are unsafe, they should look for work elsewhere," unquote. NATCA President Patrick Forey calls the comment, quote, "the height of arrogance from an out-of-control agency that is now trying to stifle whistleblowers, intimidate union members, and discredit controllers' commitment to safety," unquote. On Monday, NATCA's outrage was shared by two congressmen, Democrats Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania and Robert Andrews of New Jersey. Sestak, who is a retired Navy admiral, commented, quote, "the recent remarks attributed to Jim Peters demonstrate once again that the FAA is a rogue agency. The idea that professionals who have concerns about safety should find another line of work is an outrage. Everywhere in our society, from the military to hospitals to mines to food processing facilities, responsible organizations emphasize safety first and reward professional employees who identify safety deficiencies," unquote. The U.S. Airways chapter of the Airline Pilots Association has been critical of the new practice of publishing a 255-degree departure heading, but then assigning pilots a different heading just before takeoff. The entry into the fray by the two congressmen might be a sign of genuine concern, or it might be a reflection of their need to find issues that push the public's buttons in a year when both are up for re-election. I've requested interviews with both the ALPA and the reporter who quoted Peters in her newspaper article. If either consent to an interview, you'll hear it on an upcoming Aero News special feature. If you enjoy our Aerocasts in Asia but can't get a fast internet connection, you'll want to follow this story. The Associated Press reports Japan's Kizuna satellite, which supports high-speed data transmissions over Southeast Asia, lifted off atop an H-2A rocket Saturday evening from the southern island of Tanegashima. The satellite successfully entered orbit a short time later. Kizuna passes data at up to 1.2 gigabytes per second across Japan and 19 other areas throughout the region not served by terrestrial high-speed access points. Kizuna won't be used for commercial purposes, but if successful, the technology could find its way onto a commercial platform in the future. The launch marks the eighth straight successful firing of the H-2A, a rocket Japan hopes to put into commercial service and eventually in support of manned spaceflight as Japan's space program races to catch up with China's. Still ahead, from Healy Expo, Sikorsky unveils its X-2 technology demonstrator. Schweitzer opens the order book for its new S-434. And Pratt & Whitney Canada helps customers stabilize maintenance costs. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 26th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Sikorsky showed attendees at this week's Healy Expo in Houston its concept of the future of rotorcraft. The company unveiled its X-2 technology demonstrator, designed to demonstrate how a helicopter can cruise comfortably at 250 knots while retaining desirable helicopter attributes, including excellent low-speed handling, efficient hovering, and auto-rotation safety, and a seamless and simple transition to high speed. X-2 features fly-by-wire flight controls, counter-rotating rigid rotor blades, hub drag reduction, active vibration control, and an integrated auxiliary propulsion system. Peter Grant, Sikorsky Senior Manager of Advanced Programs, says X-2 continues to progress toward first flight. As ANN reported, Sikorsky first announced the X-2 technology in June of 2005. After being grounded in 2006 during a 10-week machinist strike, development resumed last year. The X-2 technology demonstrator is built as a rapid prototyping collaboration effort with Sikorsky's subsidiary Schweitzer Aircraft. The project is funded solely by Sikorsky. Schweitzer, meanwhile, announced the launch of its new S-434 helicopter Sunday at Healy Expo. The turbine single is the next iteration of the Schweitzer Model 333 and incorporates many of the technologies developed on the Fire Scout UAV. Company VP Paul Schweitzer expanded on the evolution, quote, "With a four-bladed rotor system, increased power, and a larger fuel tank, the S-434 helicopter will fly farther and faster while having a larger useful load than its predecessor," unquote. Prospective customers will now be offered production positions while development proceeds. Schweitzer's Model 333 operates throughout the world in missions including law enforcement, commercial and military flight training, power line and pipeline patrol, personal use, and lift operations. If you stand around and listen to helicopter operators talk these days, the topic of maintenance budgets comes up often. Pratt & Whitney Canada is listening. The company launched a new fleet management program at Healy Expo. The program is designed to meet the wide-ranging engine maintenance needs of helicopter customers around the world. Company officials say the program lets customers pay a guaranteed rate that fixes a customer's operating costs over the long term. The company says the result is a cost-effective, no-surprise maintenance environment which meets the high-quality standards at Pratt & Whitney Canada-owned or designated maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities. The company also boasts global customer support, over a half billion hours of in-service experience, and one of the most extensive support networks in the industry, including over 30 company-owned and designated service facilities. Pratt & Whitney Canada is a division of United Technologies. Finally today from Hilly Expo, Augusta Westland has partnered with Versace to bring a new level of opulence to rotorcraft cabins. A mock-up of the private AW139 is on display at the show, and according to the partners, quote, boasts the highest standards in style, comfort, and technological performance. The partnership between Augusta Westland and Versace was born to satisfy demanding customers who require the best in terms of luxury and comfort, as well as the highest levels of functionality and safety, unquote. Versace says its style uses elements of classicism combined with a very modern approach to elegance and comfort in creating the six-place cabin. You can see pictures on our website in the print version of this story at aero-news.net. So I guess what this means is, if showing up in Augusta Westland's most luxurious and largest private model doesn't by itself make enough of an impression, now you have one more option to ratchet up your entrance. And just think, a moment ago we were discussing concern over maintenance budgets. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today we'll hear the first part of a presentation by Pete Bunce of Gamma on the year ahead and what may be the clearest explanation yet of how general aviation will use and benefit from next-gen air traffic control. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.